This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The Vatican is trying to downplay a letter that seems to warn Irish bishops not to report sex abuse cases to authorities. The Vatican says the 14-year-old letter does not instruct Irish bishops to disregard civil law, but lawyers in the U.S. say it shows the Vatican was responsible for sheltering abusive priests. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
In 1996, Catholic bishops in Ireland decided they would begin working with police to help identify pedophile priests. A year later, the Vatican panel wrote back with its assessment of the policy. The Congregation for the Clergy said that the proposed policy might violate the Church's canon law. The results could be highly embarrassing and detrimental, it said, adding, "The situation of mandatory reporting gives rise to serious reservations of both a moral and canonical nature." Plaintiff's attorney Jeffrey Anderson is suing the Vatican, something no one has done successfully before, on behalf of an American molested by a priest. He calls the letter a smoking gun.
This letter is a stunning piece of evidence that the Vatican has control. It demands secrecy, and it fails to protect the kids, as it did our client.
Anderson is trying to prove that the priest was an employee of the Vatican, and therefore the Vatican is accountable. He says the 1997 letter and other documents show the buck stops with the Pope.
There is but one entity and one man that is in control of all matters pertaining to sexual abuse and the movement of priests, and that is the Holy See, the Pope.
It's not a smoking gun.
Nick Cafardi is a canon lawyer at Duquesne University Law School. He says the letter to the Irish bishops is bathed in hypotheticals, problems that could arise if the bishops turned over cases to the police.
It doesn't say you can't do this. It says it might be problematical. If I'm an Irish bishop and I get a letter like this, I think, well, okay, that's their opinion.
Jeffrey Lina, an attorney for the Vatican in the U.S., agrees. In a statement, he says, nowhere does the letter tell Irish bishops to ignore requirements to report crimes. Rather, he says, the Vatican was only warning Irish bishops that if they didn't follow church law precisely, a Vatican court could overturn a decision to defrock an abusive priest. However you interpret the Irish letter, it's unclear whether it will help any lawsuit in the United States, says Joe Della Pina, a law professor at Villanova University.
If it can be shown that it applied in the United States, it would, I think, be very damaging.
But for it to be relevant in U.S. courts, he says, you have to show that the letter was intended to apply to U.S. bishops or that U.S. bishops received a similar warning.
If you could show other evidence of Vatican involvement in the United States, then maybe the Irish letter might reinforce an inference. But by itself, it doesn't prove very much about the United States.
The bigger problem, lawyers say, is that it is enormously difficult to sue the Vatican, because under U.S. law, the Vatican is considered a sovereign state, like Italy or France, and U.S. courts are almost always unwilling to reach into affairs of foreign states. Still, the letter has given a boost to plaintiffs' attorneys, who want to use the letter to draw a direct line between sexual abusers in the U.S. and the Vatican. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.